Be happy in every life. We have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it.
And you are listening to Mental Health Matters on WRIR LP 97.3 FM. The topic for today's show is Everyone Can Work: Supported Employment for Those Who Live with Mental Illness. If you remember, several weeks ago, I was asked to remind you on a weekly basis that this is your life, not a dress rehearsal, and I promised I would do so. This week's topic will highlight the thought that this is your life, not a dress rehearsal, in a profound kind of way. Humanity as a whole, I believe, marginalizes individuals who live and persevere with mental illness, as if their lives do not have the same meaning as those of us who do not struggle with this disability. We try on Mental Health Matters to dedicate each show to highlighting an issue in regard to mental health. We talk about a whole variety of things, sometimes interpersonal relations, sometimes we talk about addiction, sex and sexuality. We try to discuss healthy ways in which to live a more thoughtful and emotionally honest and fulfilling life. Each week, we highlight an issue. We discuss it, after which you, the audience, have an opportunity to ask questions or to weigh in on the subject. Today, the number at which you can reach us is 649-9737, 649-9737. As you know, Mental Health Matters comes to you every Thursday at 1 p.m. on WRIR 97.3 FM. You can also listen to the program in real time by logging onto WRIR's computer website, www.wrir.org. The show will be available for you to listen to by this evening, along with all the past shows, by logging onto my website, mentalhealthmatters.web.officelive.com. You can also go onto the WRIR website and click on my show and it'll get you to my website. I'm happy to send you a link to my site if you email me, yourmentalhealthmatters@gmail.com. That's all one word, but it's not the words you are. It's just the letters. You are mentalhealthmatters@gmail.com. Also, feel free to send me your comments, questions, or suggestions for a future show. I got a great note in my box this week. An old friend sent me a picture of myself as a part of a wonderful comedy group from when I was about 24 years old, and it was really fun to look at it. So today, I am thrilled to introduce my guest. Her name is Pam Hinterlong. And she is an expert in the field of supported employment. And because she is the knowledgeable one in this field, I'm not even going to begin to explain what supportive employment is. I will turn that over to Pam. Pam, welcome to Mental Health Matters.
Thanks, Gail.
Thank you very much for joining me today. And if you can, tell us what supported employment is.
Well, supported employment is a program that is funded by the Rehabilitation Service Administration, which is a part of our federal government. And it's to help people be able to access competitive employment in the community. So that's a job anybody can have, you or me or our next door neighbor. We want to really focus on somebody's strengths, their interests, their abilities, as well as the supports they may need. It's definitely focusing on individuals that experience significant disability.
Okay, so just give me a little bit of history how this came into being.
Sure. Well, when you look it up, if you Google it on the web, on the internet, you're going to find that it really began in the mid-70s as a result of realizing the rehabilitation services that we were providing to assist people with disabilities really was missing out on a whole group of people, people that experienced the most significant disabilities, whether that was a developmental disability, a mental illness, a brain injury, those types of disabilities. And so it was able to set specific funding aside for this population. It really got a hold and started making, I think, a big difference in the 80s, where we started saying, okay, here's a model we want to replicate throughout the country to provide assistance with job development, on the job supports, whether that's, a lot of people have heard of the term job coaching, where an individual might go with a person to the place of work and help them learn their job, and any interpersonal issues they might have at work.
It is very interesting to me because, as I said earlier in my introduction, people who live with mental illness are so marginalized in this society that if you have a physical disability and someone can see it, they might be able to work around it. But when we have something like mental illness, somebody might be very functioning for a long period of time and then have an episode where they're much less able to function. So, you know, let's talk about individuals who function in many ways but live with mental illness that rears up intermittently. How do you help them with supported enforcement? Supported employment, excuse me.
Yes. So your question is, if someone is going along fine and then perhaps has an intermittent issue with their disability, and how can supported employment help them?
Yes.
Well, as adults, most of us need to work, and hopefully we get to do something that we feel good about and positive about. But the reality is adults work in our culture, in our society. And so when you're not able to, based on disability, that can actually exacerbate a mental illness, because then you have the stress, the fact that you're not working, and it's cyclical. Supported employment can help an individual not only be able to learn how to express to employers what their needs are in a way that they may or may not be having to disclose disability. They may be able to say, you know, I have difficulty getting up in the mornings, so maybe I need a support employment specialist to help them understand, well, let's target jobs where we're going in the afternoon then, or can we change times of medications, or what do we need to do to accommodate that? Support employment can target employers that are going to be able to work in a more positive way by presenting, here's what this person can bring to your company. You know, here's all of their strengths. Here's some areas we're going to need to work on, or some supports, and can you work with us?
Are there different models of supported employment?
Yes, there are. Usually there's a and when we talk about support employment, we're usually talking about one person, one employer, one job. So the individual owns the job, just like I own my job. When I go to work, my relationship is between myself and my employer. There are models of group employment that people will talk about. That is not supported employment. That is usually some type of crew work or work where the job belongs to the agency or the company that's helping make those placements, and they have the direct relationship with the employer. Now, there is transitional employment that is funded by the state vocational rehabilitation agencies. That's a form of supported employment, and it is specifically for individuals who experience mental illness. And what that allows is allows an organization to work with an individual in some transitional placements, perhaps while we are returning to and getting our stability, making choices in our life. What do we really want to do? But we need some work experience. And in that example of transitional supported employment, the organization would develop relationships with employers and help place perhaps myself. I'm going to work and I'm going to be in a transitional placement at a hospital and do transporting. And I may only do that for 6 weeks, 12 weeks, you know, And then during that time, I'm getting other services. I'm determining what it is career-wise I would like to do now that 3 months, 6 months down the road, I'm making different decisions or better decisions, or I'm able to really get at what are my interests and what do I like. But in the meantime, I've been able to earn income and help support my family. So we do look at transitional employment a little bit differently. Our goal always, though, in support employment is long-term permanent placements where the individual has the relationship with their employer.
And it's their job.
And it's their job, yes. Right. And we're there to just facilitate and to assist if issues come up.
So, you know, it used to be in the, I remember years ago, I used to run groups, skills groups in organizations, sheltered workshops. Does that still exist?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yes.
There are...
You're not a fan.
No, not okay. a fan. And I can tell you a couple of reasons why. We won't spend too much time on sheltered employment. But I think when they were conceived, it wasn't... The idea sounded good, is we're going to get contracts into a workshop and we're going to have people who have experienced variety of disabilities come. They'll be able to work and we'll be able to work on work skills or work behaviors while they're here. And part of the issue is they're in an environment where it's surrounded by all kinds of everyone has a disability. We're making sub-minimum wage because usually those jobs are paid piece rate. So I might work for 40 hours a week and woohoo, my paycheck is $2.17 if I'm lucky. It doesn't inspire much confidence or help someone's self-esteem. And it also, behavior begets behavior. You know, I learned very quickly that if Gail reaches over and smacks the person sitting next to her, she gets all kinds of attention. And I'm bored and I want some attention, so I'm going to reach over and smack Gail. And that's not how we interact and behave in the community or with employers and in jobs. Sheltered workshops make it very difficult, actually, for people to transition out.
Oh, yes, I can see that. I mean, they're so terribly marginalized and treated like children, mm-hmm. as opposed to adults. Yes. Who get to use the skills they do have, mm-hmm. and their skills are never enhanced.
Well, and Gail, the reality is if it worked, then people would enter the workshops, they would gain skills, and they would leave and go work
and
in the community,
don't.
And they don't. They retire from the workshops after 50, 60, 70 years sometimes.
Yes. I can definitely see you not being a fan of that. So, okay, how does it benefit the employer to be a part of this supported employment system?
Well, for all businesses, what we have to do is understand what can we do for them? What can we do to help enhance their business? And what I try to do when I'm developing a job for someone or working with someone is I'm looking at their interests and abilities and what they bring to the table and their motivators. And then I try to find employers that have opportunities that match those skills and abilities, because then I know we're going to have a really good job match. When I approach an employer about a job, it may be a job they have readily available, but it might be trying to fit a need they have, evaluating what's going really well in their business and what are some areas they might like to work more smoothly. And so a lot of times I'm able to say, you know, I have an individual that would love to work in, I'm trying to think of a creative example, love to work with animals, and they've said that their whole lives. And a great example for an employer was a veterinary hospital who wasn't able to keep vet techs because there was so much work behind the scenes, cleaning kennels, assisting animals that needed to be bathed and taken care of after surgery or illness. And this individual I was working with wanted anything with animals, and we were able to actually create a job within that hospital for this individual who would take time with the animals, would soothe them, had no problem with cleaning out kennels and cages and bathing sick animals, and it was a great job match. The employer was able to hire someone at a good, decent living wage, but not what they were having to pay an additional vet tech. And so the employer saved money and was able to also retain their other employees who were had much higher job satisfaction not having to do those duties and having someone to back them up. And so it was a win-win situation. So you try to find win-win situations. Many employers that get involved with support employment programs are sold just because they have an employee who really values their job, has great self-esteem, has a lot of confidence, and wants to be there and be a part of a team and feel a part of it.
I have another question attached to that, but first, just let me say that you're listening to Mental Health Matters. Today, we're speaking to Pam Hinterlong. She is an expert in the field of supported employment. And if you have any questions on this topic, it's a very interesting topic because we're talking about everyone can work, supported employment for those who live with mental illness. If you have a question, please feel free to call us today at 649-9737. Back to the conversation. So, Pam, how do you get your foot in the door? Like, how do you make that happen?
Sure. I think the most important thing is you have to talk to the person who can make decisions. And a lot of times in our field, and I think when someone's trying on their own to find a job because they need to pay bills, they go to some and large employers are great. Don't get me wrong. The big package stores, our grocery stores, the big pharmacies, you know, the big employers in our communities that have retail type jobs, those types of fast food. Those are great employers, and that's fine. But what we really want to do is, when we're talking about longevity and long-term and permanent type of employment, getting our foot in the door really has to do, where I've had the most success, is building relationships. So going in and talking to a business owner or a general manager or someone who can make decisions, and don't ask for anything. You want to learn about their business and how perhaps can we find those win-win situations. So I might visit in tour two, three, four, a dozen times, learning, taking tours, talking to the employer before I even bring up the individual or an individual that might be wanting employment. I find out what their needs are, and I learn to talk their language. And people do things for people, and you build those relationships. The best placements and the best success I've had is when I've taken the time to do that.
So do you ever encourage people who have accepted, supported employees into their businesses to talk to other businesses to try to get them to see the benefits?
Absolutely. Thank you. In fact, all across the country, and you can go online to www.bln.org, Business Leadership Networks.
I'll be sure to put that on my website.
Great.
So people can see that.
Many communities now have business leadership networks. And what this is a organization that are run by businesses that believe in hiring individuals of all abilities. And we'll talk together, we'll provide references, we'll share experiences so they can learn about that. So very often, if we've had a successful placement, I might say to the general manager of Nacho Mama's, you know, would you mind talking to this business owner and tell them about your experiences and why you feel this was positive and worked for you? But they also have organizations where the business owners can come together and really get a lot of great information.
So are there usually state agencies that fund these services? One of the things that I have found, I worked with a young man who had gone through voc rehab, and he could never follow all their rules, and so he never could do what they needed him to do in order to get them to do what he needed them to do for him, and it was very frustrating and cyclical.
Sure.
So are there agencies, state agencies, that try to help people?
Well, Vocational Rehabilitation is the primary funder for supported employment services. I'm new to the state of Virginia, so I can't speak a great deal about the state system here in Virginia. However, Vocational Rehabilitation state agencies are funded through the Rehabilitation Services Administration. in most states, they contract out for those services. So they, yes, you would go through the VR office, but then you'd be working with a nonprofit agency in the community that will assist you with your supported employment program. And, you know, I would encourage you as a provider or other individuals in our field that are working with anyone who'd like to access employment that, yes, we work with the State Vocational Rehabilitation Agency, but perhaps if there's other supports that person has in their life, make sure they kind of come together. We know that when we have the individual at the center with all their support surrounding them, we have the best success. And so in the example of your customer who may not have had a very positive experience, if he were to try to access those services again to have funding for support with employment, your involvement maybe to perhaps help with that process and help him with strategies to communicate with that counselor and receive the referrals and follow through.
So, you know, so often when I'm dealing with somebody whose mental illness keeps them from organizing themselves well enough to go through the process of looking for work. And I know those individuals have skills. And how do you help individuals who are struggling at that level?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Absolutely.
And people do get help.
Yes. Absolutely. One of the things that we like to use is I'm not a big fan of paper and pencil tests that try to tell me, you know, what somebody can they read at a certain level or their math level, because I want to know what they can do, not focus on the things they can't do. And if I had to worry every day somebody was going to give me a math test, I'd probably panic and freeze up. So we use what's called the discovery method a great deal, which is where we spend time out in the community and in places where the person is the most comfortable to learn and to really determine what those strengths are and what those skills are and how we can help build their confidence and understanding of that and how that translates into particular employment opportunities.
One of the things that I think about are my clients who come to me who are employed already.
Yes.
And all of a sudden their job is sort of on the line.
Yes.
Because they've had a resurgence of symptoms. Let's say somebody who has post-traumatic stress disorder, and they're doing really well, and then something gets in their way and they get very triggered in their ability to stay on the job or concentrate as well. Or somebody who's managing depression in a cyclical way, but they have a job and all of a sudden their job is on the line.
Sure.
Can they, are people in that position able to access these services?
Absolutely. Part of the criteria for eligibility within vocational rehabilitation, who again is your primary funder, is that the individual needs supports and could benefit from services that would help them either obtain employment or maintain employment.
Well, that's important.
And that's very important and critical to understand.
Again, I just wanted to say you're listening to Mental Health Matters, and the subject we're highlighting today is Everyone Can Work, Supported Employment for Those Who Live with Mental Illness. I'm talking to Pam Hinterlong, who is an expert in the field of supported employment. And if you would like to ask her a question today, feel free to call 649-9737. You're listening to WRIR 97.3 on your FM dial. One of the issues that I see in the world is, and I said it at the very beginning, is that people with mental illness are marginalized, but they're also made fun of. And so now they're at work, and let's say somebody has a severe form of OCD, or somebody has Tourette's syndrome, which causes them to have certain tics or make noises. People make fun of them.
Yes.
Can Can supported employment help with that?
Absolutely. Again, when we're providing supports on the job, it's important for the individual and their employment specialist or whatever it is we're going to call the person who's providing the supports to have an understanding of how much they would like to disclose and what they're comfortable with. Sometimes having someone with them in those initial days of employment, helping train, help navigate the social aspects of employment and developing relationships and natural supports on the job can sometimes really help smooth the way and help them understand. Because when you can model appropriate reactions to someone and that it's not a big deal, or here's someone who's not making fun of and is accepting of this person, sometimes just that modeling will go a long way and allow the person to start to develop real relationships before the disability factors in. But there's also the opportunity when someone who understands the situation, when that's observed or it begins to happen, again, with the person's consent, be able to help intervene and talk and help with understanding.
You know, I was just, it just reminds me of this something that happened this weekend. I was watching my 5-year-old grandchild play flag football, or play with the dog, actually, while his teammates were playing flag football. But that's besides the point. I shouldn't have brought the dog. I distracted him. And my daughter-in-law was telling me that the kids in school were teasing him because he has a very different name. He has a Hebrew name. His name is Nachman, and they call him Nachi. And so the older boys in school were calling him Nacho. And he didn't like it, and he kept coming home and saying that. And it right in front of me, I'm playing with my grandson, and the older kids were playing next on the field, so they were beginning to practice. And this child, who's about 3 years older than my grandchild, turned around and said, "Hey, Nacho, why are you doing such and such?" And I just sort of unfold right in front of me, and I turned around to the little boy, and I said, "You know, he really does not want you to call him that. He much prefers for you to call him by his proper name. Do you know what his proper name is?" And we kind of went through it. And then my grandson's eyes were huge. And I said, "Was that okay that I said that?" Because, I mean, my immediate reaction was to protect him. And he said, "Yes." And then about 5 minutes later, he said, "Can you come to school with me?" And I thought, "No, I can't come to school with you. But I can teach you that skill, perhaps."
Absolutely.
Do you teach that skill?
Absolutely. Again, modeling, role-playing, when we end up in situations, how are we going to handle it? And how are we going to respond? Whether that's with just verbal prompts, whether it's with an example in the break room. I was working with a woman who had a difficult time accessing competitive employment, and this was her first job. She was in her 40s that had ever lasted more than just a few days, and she was a sampler at the grocery store, and she would go out and offer samples, which was a lot of interaction. She had found this job on her own. I'm not sure I agreed it was a great job match for her because of some of her anxiety and lack of interpersonal skills. But she was a wonderful, wonderful individual. And we were in the break room, and somebody called her the pizza lady, because she had been sampling pizza that day. And when their samples left over, they would get to eat them. For them, they didn't know her name. They just wanted pizza. And they thought it was a way to build some rapport. And she immediately started getting upset. And I was able to very quickly reframe that for her and why that was an okay
thing.
And
see how sweet that was.
And see how sweet it was. And to say, "Oh, hey," and introduce yourself, tell them your name, ask them their name, offer them a slice of pizza. And it ended up developing, you know, a colleague there at work for her.
That's a great story, and it's a wonderful place to end, because here's the message today, which is people live with all sorts of things that get in the way of their functioning that don't have to get in the way of their functioning.
Yes.
Everybody should be able to work. Everybody should be able to reach their potential. Everybody has many facets to them. They cannot be completely defined by what they're struggling with. And this, of all things, to me, just really highlights how important it is for us as human beings, as humanity, to embrace everybody and recognize how much better off we are for doing that. I really appreciate you coming today,
Thank
Pam.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you'll come again. And by the way, Pam's new to Richmond, so welcome to Richmond as well. And perhaps you'll come back and talk to us again. This is Gail Moskowitz. Tune in next week on Mental Health Matters, where Dr. Wendy Klein is going to talk about menopause.
In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now.